listening to the Street Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Dwell. We're an outreach ministry mounted on two wheels, motorcycles if you're boring, sent out by Jesus through the Great Commission to make disciples. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. What's up, my brothers and sisters? My name is Chris Dwelly, and you're listening to the Street Profits Podcast. Now, what's a street prophet, you ask? Well, let me tell you. We're an outreach ministry mounted on two wheels, motorcycles if you're boring. We're sent by Jesus Christ by the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Well, what's the purpose of this podcast then, if we're supposed to be out making disciples? Well, right now we're all held up in our houses due to the coronavirus, COVID-19. Hopefully, we're all practicing some safe social distancing, but we want to get this nastiness to go away so it doesn't spread anymore. So I wanted to start this podcast to encourage and equip those of us that have a feeling that there's more to being the church than just sitting on a chair or in a pew on Sunday. The feeling that we all need to get out into the world and make disciples is stronger in some of us than in others. Now, I tend to teach in series not because of any other reason other than it's just easier to follow my train of thought. I have a touch of ADD, oh, look, something shiny. So our first 8 episodes are going to tackle the topic of discipleship, what it is, what God says it's about, and all that good stuff. And as much as it hurts me to admit it, I truly think that the church has failed miserably in one vital area of ministry. Throughout the 1980s and the 1990s, there was this concentrated effort to reach unbelievers with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church rose to that call through evangelism. Numbers across the board rose, people made professions of faith, they were baptized, lives were changed, and churches grew. And from all outward appearances, the church was strong and vibrant. Now, here we are in a new millennium. It's 2020, and the church is in a decline, and many are closing their doors. Sure, some churches are growing in numbers, like the church that I go to, Central Church, here in Augusta, Maine. But the fact is that some denominations are in a freefall and are desperately trying to formulate a plan to figure out how they're going to survive. So what happened? How did we go from what appeared to be a time of prosperity to a time that we have faltering and what we have today? And I believe the answer is found within the church itself. I know that we face this determined adversary who seeks to hinder the growth of the church any way that he can. But until we're willing to admit our need and take necessary steps to change it, the church is going to continue to decline. Need a little sip of coffee here. Hang on a second. So let's take a second and let's consider the approach during the boom of church growth as it was a couple of decades ago. Churches were doing a great job reaching those that were lost, that needed Jesus. People were sharing the gospel with their friends and their coworkers, but for the most part, there was no plan to disciple those who had decided to follow Jesus. Many of those who became church members never grew in their faith. They were never really grounded spiritually. Many even fell by the wayside, which is a really sad thing. Of course, those who remained, many of them were never discipled themselves. So how can we ever ask them to go out and make more disciples if they weren't discipled themselves? The giant boom of the 20th century has failed to reproduce itself, and we're reaping the meager harvest as a result right now. If we're to reach those who need Christ, stabilize the exodus of the church, and ensure spiritual health for the future, we need to prepare for the people that we have, the people that are around us, our ecclesia. We need to prepare those people to disciple other people. When discipleship is weak or it's lacking, the church is going to face a decline. Now, over the next 8 weeks, you and I are going to examine the biblical approach to discipleship in an effort to equip you and me to effectively disciple other people better. Today, I want to consider the facets of Jesus' invitation to as we discuss the call to discipleship. This statement isn't hard to understand. In fact, it's very simple and very profound. Matthew 4 and 19 says, "And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Two simple words turn the whole world upside down. Follow me. Jesus offered a simple invitation to Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. These guys were nothing special, just regular dudes like me and you. They were simple fishermen, and yet Jesus invited them to follow him. He came to them and he made them an offer they couldn't refuse, and I'm doing the Godfather thing here. The invitation is separate from salvation, and yet the Lord extends this invitation to all that have received him in salvation. He comes to ordinary people like you and I, where they are, and he invites them to follow him. Many are saved, and yet they have not surrendered themselves to Jesus. And that takes obedience. If you're saved, you're invited to follow Jesus. What did Jesus expect when he said to the disciples, follow me? When Jesus invited Peter and Andrew to follow him, he fully expected them to do it. He didn't expect them to hesitate or be like, oh, you know what, Jesus? When you say follow you, what do you mean by that? How long are we going to be gone? They weren't idle men. They were busy, engaged, and in the work of their own, but the Lord invited them to follow him in pursuit of his divine plan. And honestly, I'm afraid many today, they view this invitation from Jesus as something to consider or pursue at a later time. Maybe not something that they're going to do right now, but somewhere down the line, I'm going to follow Jesus. The call to discipleship is being extended today, and Jesus expects us to heed that call. He doesn't invite us to consider joining him in his work or waiting for a more convenient time. He mentions nothing about taking the time to pray about any of this. He's calling us today to follow him, and he fully expects us to respond in obedience to his call. Now, I'm not advocating that we shouldn't pray over things and we shouldn't pray for things, but we never should have to pray about following the Lord. Again, this wasn't a call extended for their consideration. Jesus had spoken, and they were obligated to follow. He would not have forced them if they were unwilling, but they were obligated to respond favorably to his call. Many churchgoers feel the call is reserved for the pastor or deacons or Sunday school teachers or other people in leadership positions. Jesus is calling every single believer to follow him. And if we desire to live within that call from God, we have to be able to follow him and we have to be obedient. This is the basis of our whole service to Christ. As believers, we have an obligation to follow the Lord wherever he leads. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. God's call involves particular preparation. Check this out. Peter and Andrew, they didn't receive this invitation to follow an ordinary guy, okay? This would involve big-time work, work unlike anything that they've ever known, anything they've ever seen in their lives. And these guys worked hard. They were fishermen. Jesus was just, he wasn't another villager who desired assistance. He was this eternal God-man. Their work would not be dependent on the abilities or wisdom of a mere mortal man. The Son of the living God had called them, and he would equip them for the work that he had that lay ahead for them. If we were to focus solely on the numbers and the statistics and for the outlook of the church, it's going to appear pretty bleak. However, we need to remember who we belong to. We have to recognize the Lord's plan to build his church. He ascended back to heaven and entrusted the work of the church to the Spirit-filled believers that he left behind. That passes from disciple to disciple down through the ages until, boom, here we are. We can't fear failure or give in to defeat. The Lord himself has called us to do the work of discipleship. Now, as Peter and Andrew follow the Lord, he promises to make them fishers of men. I hope you can see the significance here, because in order to be effective in the work that we're called to perform, that they would have had to have depended on Jesus. And they didn't currently possess the ability or the skill set, and it would never have happened apart from them working for the Lord. as he worked in their lives, making them fishers of men, they would be used in the Lord in great and mighty ways. This is likely one of the greatest hindrances among the church today. We don't depend on the Lord nearly enough. This fundamental principle hasn't changed, and it's never going to. We remain dependent on God for wisdom and strength, and if our lives are to be effective in discipling others, we'll have to be fruitful through the power of the Lord. He will make us as it pleases Him, using us for glory and for the good of others. Becoming an effective disciple for Christ is natural for believers. He desires to make each of us fishers of men. Mark 1 and 17 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." In a parallel passage, Mark reveals their becoming fishers of men was not immediate. As they obediently followed Jesus, walking with him and learning of him, they would become fishers of men. They did not currently possess the wisdom or the ability to do what Jesus was asking, to become fishers of men. This is going to require time and commitment. With salvation comes the obligation to follow Jesus and disciple others, but this is not an immediate transformation. In order to be an effective disciple, we must continue to follow Jesus, growing in our faith and maturing in Him. Our walk with the Lord and our service to Him is a continual process. The longer we walk with Him, the more likely we're going to become like Him. The more like Him we become, the more we desire to please Him. Through this committed fellowship and obedience, we grow in our faith, we become fishers of men, we become like Jesus. You don't have to be completely mature spiritually to become a disciple of others, but if you are not growing in your faith, you're not going to be able to effectively disciple other people in their faith. Discipleship is a continual growing process in the lives of obedient believers. Jesus revealed that He'd make them fishers of men. Peter and Andrew understood the concept of fishing, but they made their living fishing the Sea of Galilee. But now, they were going to continue to fish, but they would now be fishing for men, fishing for souls, for God. They had been zealous, and they committed to the business of catching fish, and Jesus wanted them to possess the same zeal and in the service to Him. I'd like to think it's safe to assume that everyone here understands the concept of fishing. A net or a line's cast into the water, and we hope that we catch fish. That's the purpose for this pursuit. I know some really enjoy being out in nature, but most hope to catch something if they're going to go through the trouble of going fishing. The net or the line is cast. Once the fish is on the hook, it's brought to the shore. And as believers, we're about the business of fishing. That's what the Lord has called each of us to do as we serve Him. Peter and Andrew understood the importance of actually throwing the net if fish were to be caught. Simply thinking if fishing or hoping to catch a fish would not be profitable apart from making the effort to fish. They were called to active service, fishing for men. Let me say that again. They didn't simply think of fishing or hope to catch a fish. It wouldn't have been profitable. They actually had to fish. Make sense? Good. Let's move on. I know it sounds overly simple, but we're expected to be successful in fishing. We have to actually fish. You will never catch anything as long as the boat is in the shed and you're merely thinking about fishing. You're not going to catch anything at all as long as you're doing nothing but thinking of it, if you're not actually taking the action. You have to go to the water, you have to go where the fish are, and actively pursue catching fish. The same's true in our work with the Lord. If we never reach the lost or disciple another believer, if we're not part of their lives, we're never going to make disciples. Knowing how and where is not enough. We have to actively engage in fishing. Peter and Andrew were professional fishermen, but now their focus was going to change. They would continue to fish, but instead of seeking to catch fish, they were fishing for men. Their pursuit would have similarities, but the emphasis would change. They would be used by the Lord to reach those who had yet to come to know Him. This would become their priority in life. We need to grasp the significance of the call to follow Jesus. He's called us to this lifelong work. While we have to engage in other pursuits in order to survive physically, our emphasis should be fishing for men. If those apart from Christ are to be reached and those who are in Christ discipled in the faith, we have to be about the business of fishing. Each day, we must seek opportunities to fish. This is going to require seeking out new places to fish, stepping out of our comfort zone, out of our favorite fishing spot at times, and in order to be effective, casting our net in an area that we're not used to. One thing is certain, we will catch nothing if we're not fishing. So the call is really simple, yet most of us never respond. Are you concerned with the current state of the church? Do you feel like Jesus has more for you? Do you sense a need for action on your part? Are you willing to follow Jesus and allow him to equip you and to reach those that are in need? We need to be obedient disciples to reach the unsaved and invest in the lives of our young believers. You can't become a fisher of men if you don't have salvation. If you've never been saved, Jesus died for your sin and wants to save you today. He seeks those who realize their need for salvation, responding to him in faith alone. If he has spoken to you, come to him today. Tune in to our episode next week when we talk about the commitment of discipleship. Thanks for giving a listen. Don't forget to subscribe. And when a new episode drops, you'll be the first one to get it. God bless and stay on two wheels.